let's not make it harder than it needs to be by thinking that it shouldn't suck when it sucks.
Yeah.
Because now you're making a suck even harder by believing that it should be something other than what it is.
Yeah.
Just go through the process and show up and see if you're just as crazy as you think you are, that there might be a result at the end of this that'll pay off.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. We have Jaron Manning on the show today. He just said, after 200 and something episodes, he knows me very well. And I said, well, it's time for me to get to know you. So we've messaged a few times back and forth on social media, right? Yeah. I've watched you, you know, your grind. Like, and I respect somebody that's putting in the work, that's in the process, but I also understand what the process feels like. And so when I see somebody going through it, I'm just like, I send you my love, my dude. You know what I mean? Like from afar.
Yeah.
Like respect what you're doing, but ouch, you know?
Yeah.
So like you're neck deep in the process of trying to build and grow a business, and you know, business isn't, you know, and just so that you guys know, it's a detailing, coat, ceramic coatings, things like that, right? You've owned that since you were 21 years old, as we were talking about, right? So 3 years now of awesomeness, no struggle, no pain. It's just been glorious the whole time,
yes,
right?
It's been absolutely glorious.
Yeah, I bet. when he sat in the chair, I told him he has the twinkle of Christ in his eye. And he said, so do I, but it was really the lighting on the podcast that gave me the twinkle. But he did serve a mission, and that's a hard thing to do as well, right? Like, so I think that, you know, youngsters that go out there and serve Christ and they do a mission and, you know, I didn't do that. But I think that you guys have a leg up on anybody else by the time that you come home because of the work ethic and the structure and the routines and like the rejection that you've had to face, things like that. Do you feel like that's helped serve you in your resiliency going into, you know, trying to be a business owner and operate a company?
Yeah, definitely. Because in the mission, you experienced rejection like nothing else. Religion is the hardest thing to sell.
I mean, I know you're a big curse word guy, so I want you to tone it down for the podcast. No yelling, no screaming, no cursing.
Okay,
that's reserved for me, right? Let me do that when I feel it's appropriate. So what was the one hardest part about a mission?
The hardest part about
the hardest thing about a mission that would make you want to throw your hands up and say, okay, maybe I need to go home. I know you didn't do that, but what was kind of almost, everybody has breaking points. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it's in business. I don't care if it's in life. I don't care if it's with your marriage. I don't care if it's on a mission.
Yeah.
Like we all have breaking points, right? Where we're this close to just kind of throwing our hands up and quitting, right? What was that for you?
I mean, I would say the hardest thing is the constant sacrifice. I mean, your whole life for the next 2 years is dedicated to other people. Mm. It's not about you at all. And I mean, it felt like 2 years of constant work without a single break. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was having to constantly go out, knock on doors, talk to people, study so I knew how to answer people's questions. And it wasn't like I ever got a break. Mm. I was never not a missionary.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. For 2 years straight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you probably feel a certain level of pressure, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to perform in a certain way, because you're like, okay, well, I'm here to serve other people and I need to perform at a certain way that makes them listen to me, or I need to have the answers when they have the questions. And so it's like all of this compounding pressure, right, that gets put on. And again, you know, they'll say pressure creates diamonds, that type situation.
Yeah.
Like, but let's be real. I mean, that pressure, that stress, you know, all of that you had to go through created, again, like I said, a resilience that's going to carry forward in life, right? And so like the hard times, the things that you're currently dealing with, and this is to the listeners, right? Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It just, sometimes when you're going through something, trying to get somewhere, right, it doesn't feel cool when you're on the path to the cool place. And I think that that's where we kind of mess up a little bit. Like we see somebody doing something cool with their life, and it feels cool to see them do something cool with their life, but then when you're in the process, it doesn't feel cool. No, and you're like, what am I doing wrong? You know, this doesn't feel like the way that I thought it would feel when I would become a business owner.
Yeah.
Right? And so the emotion doesn't match up with what you thought it would be. An improper expectation.
Yeah.
Right? This fantasy that you created in your mind going into business. And then when you get into the reality of it, it doesn't match that fantasy, the emotion that you thought that you would. Looking cool physically, like having a strong, hard body, that doesn't feel cool to get.
Yeah.
It just looks cool to other people, right?
Yep.
But the process to get it means that you have to go through discomfort, right? You have to sacrifice certain foods. You have to sacrifice certain times, being in the gym, right? Like the process of building a successful business. Yes, on the outside, it looks cool when somebody has the end result. That process doesn't feel cool.
Yeah.
So there's a disconnect with society in what the process truly is versus the outcome that you're trying to receive. Yes, we all want a cool outcome, but that means what you're willing to do is go through an uncool process that doesn't feel like the result that you're trying to chase. And that's what usually, like, you know, gets people to quit. Right. Yeah. And so, like, talk about that just a little bit, because like I said, you're in the process, you're in the grind, right? Like, you wake up at 5 a.m., you know, you go to the gym, you know, you try to harden your mind, your body, you're doing the right things, but there has to be days, just like there was on your mission, that's like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember days when we first barely started. It was the summer here in St. George, you know, under 17 degree weather. And you're doing it outside.
Perfect.
And
you don't even have to bring towels, bro. Air dry.
Just let it dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the longest day of the summer, we had this, you know, we overbooked ourselves. And I ended up working from probably 7:30 in the morning all the way till, I think it was 10:30. The sun had set.
That didn't feel cool?
No, it didn't. Huh. Not at all. It was, and during the first year, you know, I wasn't making very good money because we were just coming into the business trying to undercut our competition. So hardly making anything.
You're just trying to stay busy.
Yeah.
Get your name out there.
Yeah.
You know, they charge $200, we'll do it for $150. Yes, we made $5 an hour, but at least we got the business.
So days like that were very difficult. I mean, even now, we recently got a shop for our ceramic coating services. And I remember coming home around 3 o'clock in the morning because we needed to get a coding job done. And, you know, that's not something that everyone's willing to do.
Yeah.
And that's definitely where the resilience comes in.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, it would be a lot easier just not to stay there at 3 o'clock in the morning and just hit up the customer and say, hey, sorry, your car's not going to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, but you said, hey, I need to honor what I said I was going to do. I'm trying to build a business here. If I say I'm going to do this, then I want this to be the end result, right? If I said it's going to be done tomorrow, it needs to be done tomorrow. So you have partners.
I do.
You know, so my guess is individuals kind of have their lane, right? Is there some people that are on the mobile detailing side and then some people are more on the coding side? Like, or does everybody have the same skill where they can all mix and match, or talk about that?
Yeah, so three of us are kind of a hybrid. But my older brother, Justin, he's been in business with us ever since we started. He's the marketing and social media manager and all that. He owns a separate company for marketing.
Yeah. Yep.
But he just helps us with that and gets a cut of every single job. Mm. So that's how he gets paid. And then there's me and my twin brother.
You're a twin.
I am an identical twin.
Yep. Wow. Yep. I didn't know that.
He could probably walk, you know, down the street, you probably think it was me. But, and then there's Gabe, who recently came onto our partnership. He had a coding company up north for a long time. Came down here to St. George, had a really rough year, ended up going to sales, came back, saw that we were making some progress.
Yeah.
Like getting a shop, getting a van, and he knew we were short in cash. So he said, hey, I want to partner with you guys. I'll bring in some cash to make the shop look really nice. I just want some ownership. And he's also really experienced in the industry.
So does he do the majority of the coatings then?
Yeah, he's more of
your brother do detailing, more like the mobile stuff?
Yeah, he's more of the shop manager. I mean, me and my brother kind of go in and out. So we'll have a job in the morning, run to the shop, help him with the coating, run back out, stuff like that.
Yeah. So what would you say right now is the most difficult thing for you as a young entrepreneur? Like what's your... You know, there's, you're a religious guy. There's a David and Goliath, right? What's your Goliath, right? I mean, obviously David ends up winning, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't have our Goliaths that we have to face, right? Mm-hmm. And so what's that for you guys right now as young entrepreneurs, like trying to grow and scale and maintain, you know, a business?
I mean, there's so many things with that question. I feel like there's so many Goliaths out there. one of the things.
Welcome to entrepreneurship. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Where do I start? Right.
Honestly, with having four partners, so I guess early into the entrepreneurial stage, it's really hard to figure out how to work all together.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, because we all have equal partnership. Everyone has a different opinion. You have to figure out how to work together.
Yeah, we should spend money here. We should do this. We should take a check. We shouldn't take a check.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Everybody's financial situation is a little bit different. Somebody wants to take money right now, and other people are like, hey, let's just keep investing. Let's grow this thing, right? And so then you got those little disagreements.
Yeah, so we just have so many decisions to make as we scale and so many new things coming into play. Yeah, it's difficult to figure things out altogether.
I mean, eventually you got to have somebody that's, you know, going to be the person that's the end-all be-all, right? Mm-hmm. Like you guys need to kind of come together and say, who's the best visionary out of everybody here? So financially, having four partners with one business, I mean, it's not like it's just spitting out so much cash you don't even know what to do with it, right? Like where you're worried about the tax bracket that you're getting put in next year, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the struggles of being new in terms of entrepreneurship, right? Like, so do you guys, are you making sacrifices right now financially, right? Like driving certain cars or living in certain places or living beneath your means in order to make sure that you're not having to take from the business to try to fund or fuel a lifestyle? Is that something that you're all experiencing? Do you have like a billionaire parent that you just don't even got to worry about that? Like what's the deal there?
Well, I guess to address my parents' situation, but my dad has always been an entrepreneur.
Okay.
But he's never just handed stuff to us.
Yeah.
He's taught us hard work.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, making those sacrifices. I actually live in the same apartment that I believe you used to. Based on your description.
The Hawk Hollow Townhomes?
Or is that... I don't know if that's what it was called.
Right by Pineview?
Yeah.
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 So there was the seminary building or whatever it used to be. I think that they tore it down, but it was right behind that. So like...
You know where the tennis courts are? There's a parking lot.
Oh, no. So we didn't live in the same ones. No.
Anyways, I live in an apartment.
Very.
There.
Yeah, bro. You're on the right track, that dude. My rent was $750 a month, though.
Yeah, now it's, I just with the market, it's kind of crazy. But
it's a lot different now, right? That was a little three-bedroom shit-stained carpet, you know? So
yeah, for sure. So in that way, we're making sacrifices, but also we recently took a pay cut just for the labor part. Like we usually take a certain commission based on every single job. We had to cut that down so that we can continue to scale and continue to pay for the fixed expenses that we have.
So scale, like, okay, so you're cutting back for what, right? To keep money in the business. Okay. Why are we keeping money in the business? What's like, is there a future next move? Or are you just building reserves because it's a smart thing to do?
We're building reserves and we're a little bit of debt right now. So we're trying to remove that.
Do you think that your goal 10 years from now is to continue to do exactly what you're doing? Do you have other goals and other dreams of like, hey, I want to own multiple businesses or I want to, you know, invest into real estate because it seems cool and sexy because we talked about, you know, what looks cool versus what it feels like, right? Like, so what's some of the future goals? And obviously right now it's, you know, getting out of debt, it's buying new rigs so that you have the ability to grow and expand, potentially a new shop. So let's say in 5 years that you have those things, you have 3, 4, 5, you know, rigs going at one time, your shop is bigger, then what?
It's definitely hard for me to say, because I haven't, not necessarily that I haven't thought that far, but I don't feel like those opportunities have never necessarily come. And I'm hoping that I'm able to basically work myself out of a position in the mobile detailing side, where I'm able to put more of my time towards networking and meeting more people, because I believe that's how I'll find more opportunities in the business world, whether that's real estate or some other business.
Aren't you a part of, was it the Young...
Winner Circle.
Winner Circle, yes. Right? The Young Entrepreneurs or whatever, the yeah. Winner Circle. So I think that's where I first met you. Yep. Were you there when I spoke at that?
I was.
Yeah?
Gave you a hug.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thanks for the embrace, bro. Sorry I forgot about it.
No,
give it a little,
okay.
Like, rub my back next time.
Okay.
Make it awkward. Because okay. Those are the ones that are the most memorable. Yeah, hold it 2 seconds longer than you should, where it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then scratch my back a little bit. That's how you're going to become unforgettable.
Okay.
And I did record a solo podcast the other day about don't be too forgettable, right? So there you go. Now next time I'll be like, oh, man, Jaren's an awkward guy that gives
long hugs.
Long hugs and rocks back and forth and scratches my back. Let me ask you this. When I spoke, what was the biggest takeaway for you at that Winter Circle event?
One of the things that stuck out to me the most, and you've talked about this a couple times, is the pendulum you talk about of, you know, having to go through pain and suffering. It has to swing back to something good.
It has to equal itself out, right?
That's for everything, right?
Everything.
We talked about how that's in, you know, your fitness and your family, whatever you're wanting to do. You have to make those sacrifices in order for the pendulum to swing back.
Yeah. Up has down, left has right. Hot has cold, heads has tails. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's short, there's tall, you know, there's a left hand, there's a right hand, right? Like,
yeah.
You see how everything, there's a sun and then there's a moon, there's the sky and the ocean. You see, like, when you start kind of looking at it, right? Like, everything has the polar opposite.
Right.
Right. So if we experience too much ease and too much comfort and the pendulum is over there by choice, when it levels itself back out, it's going to be painful.
Yeah.
Where we could choose to push the pain first. And when the pendulum swings, it's going to create ease and comfort.
Exactly.
Right. And so if we create ease and comfort first, we're all going to pay a price. We all, like, the question is whether you pay it on the front end or you pay it on the back end. Right. Like, so if we take it easy and we sit on the couch and we chill and we veg out and we're watching, doing social media, Netflix, we're taking it easy. But the price that we pay is we're sacrificing ourselves. We're sacrificing our mental health. We're sacrificing our physical health. That's the pain that you're going to experience, period. You can't have high self-worth and high confidence sitting around and doing that. So therefore, you're going to have to deal with your mind turning against you. Depression, you know, all of these things that are on the rise right now, right? That's because people aren't paying the price up front. They are the price that's being paid, right? They're the sacrificial lamb for choosing the wrong thing up front.
Yeah.
So ease, comfort equals pain. Or we can choose to pay an upfront bill. Stack it up, push it, wake up early, read the books, make the investments into the mastermind group, surround ourselves with the right people, you know, exercise to where it's painful, meet our mind, you know, and force that meeting to happen by putting yourself in some uncomfortable environments like this, being on a podcast, right?
For sure.
Your mind probably wanted to turn against you a few times on the drive over here.
Yeah.
Butterflies in the belly. Are you dead yet? Didn't think so. Your mind's a liar, right? So we can pay the price up front and do the things that we know we need to do. And when the price is paid, you'll receive the reward of ease and comfort, peace, fulfillment, those type of things. So I'm a big believer in the pendulum, you know, and the further that you can push it into pain, and then when you stop doing whatever you're doing, that means it has that much more momentum to swing up to some sort of euphoric feeling, something that most people will never experience because they're, you know, paying the price afterwards with themselves because they're choosing easy route. Making the payment up front is that's the answer to everything, right? Like, pay the price up front and receive everything that you ever would want. The problem is it takes much longer than you ever expect and is much harder than you would ever expect. Like we make believe this thing in our mind. Thank God we think the end result is so amazing of being successful, because if we didn't believe that, then we wouldn't be going through the processes that we go through, because 9 days out of 10, it's miserable. It's hard. It's difficult. We don't want to do it. It's another day waking up wondering if this will ever pay off.
Yeah.
Right? And those are the meetings that you have to have with your mind up front, paying the price, paying the price, paying the price, paying the price. Sometimes the price is paid for 10 years. Sometimes it's 15 years.
Yeah.
But it's impossible for the pendulum not to swing back if you do the work. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in it. Like, if you eat healthy and exercise all the time, you're not going to be fat 10 years from now. Like, it's an impossibility, right? And so, you know, that's why I can look at certain people that are young, that are going through the process and going through the grind, and one, know what they're going through, but also secondly, know that they have a bright future.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I could see that about you. You just don't see that about you, yeah. Right? And that's why I sent you the message that I did, because I was like, bro, I know, dog. Like, I get it, but stop. Stop overly judging yourself or being overly critical or listening. It just is what it is, man. Like, hard is hard, and it sucks. So do it anyways.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, let's not make it harder than it needs to be by thinking that it shouldn't suck when it sucks.
Yeah.
Because now you're making a suck even harder by believing that it should be something other than what it is.
Yeah.
Just go through the process and show up and see if you're just as crazy as you think you are, that there might be a result at the end of this that'll pay off, right? And so I think it's awesome, man, that you said that about the pendulum. Because, like, when I asked you that question, I'm just like, I'm really curious. Like, I want to know, because everybody's young. Everybody's there was, you know, they're trying to make their way in the world, right? I think everybody's like 25 and under.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there was one dude that's like, oh, my lady's pregnant.
That's my brother.
Was that your brother?
That's Justin, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, good luck, pal. You know, life is gonna hit us.
Yeah.
You think it's hard now? Well, just wait, right? The 3 a.m, I mean, that's gonna be pretty normal for a minute, right? And it's not gonna be because of the coating that you need to finish, you know? The baby that needs to be fed, so... What's something that you wish you would have known going into business that you know now, that you would maybe tell somebody that's, you know, 17, 18, that says, hey, I want to be a business owner. Like, what's a piece of advice that you would maybe give to your younger self 3 years ago, or just a youngster just in general?
I'd say probably have a good support system.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it. See, come on, bro. Don't make the same mistake I did.
I would just say, honestly, have a good support system, because it is going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to sacrifice a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I met my wife and married her pretty soon after we started.
Yeah.
And she's been super supportive. And I don't think I could have done it if she wasn't, because, you know, her sitting around waiting for me to be done with work is not easy on a relationship. But having her understand and having her support me means the world.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that kind of support system, or even the people that you go in business with, then it's even that much harder.
Yeah.
But.
So, good support system, somebody that isn't going to make the thing that sucks suck even more. Right? Because it already sucks. Mm-hmm. So the last thing you need to do is be out till 3 a.m. and then
have somebody
yelling at you for being out till 3 a.m, right?
Yeah.
So, like, in terms of support, how does she support you? Like, is it just like, hey, I totally understand? Is there verbal communication of like, hey, I believe in you type support? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, expression of appreciation. Like,
gotcha.
I see what you're doing, and I see that it's for our future and for our future family.
Yeah.
And I support you 100%.
Yeah.
And always be here for you.
What wisdom has your dad, since he was an entrepreneur, has he shared with you, or what lesson did you pull from him, maybe even just watching him, that he's not unaware, or maybe he's unaware that he taught you, if it was just more a visual thing, or if he has actually sat down and said, hey, this is how you do business?
It was more of a visual thing for my dad, honestly, just seeing him, how hard he worked and everything he built. I mean, I didn't see his whole process because that was the end of the family,
end of the line there,
Because he worked hard for 20 years, and then I saw the end of it. But so I guess I just saw the result. But so
that's
I would say
delusional. It's what the process is. Exactly. You're like, wait a minute, my dad made this look easy.
Yeah, but I would say my mom, honestly, was the one that actually taught us, which is kind of weird to say because my dad was the entrepreneur. But my mom, I remember summers that we would read just mindset books or financial books like Think and Grow Rich. I don't know if you ever read that one.
Yeah, but it's actually on my playlist right now. I'm listening to it as I drive back and forth to work. I love that book.
So, you know, the summers while we were growing up, my mom would sit us down and, hey, let's read this together. What'd you learn? Stuff like that. So that's where I kind of, I mean, my dad plus my mom, like there was no way that I wasn't going to continue this path.
So is there other people in your family that are business owners or brothers, sisters, or is it just mainly, you know, the double threat at the bottom?
So my oldest brothers are twins as well. One of them is in business with my dad, and then one of my other brothers is also in business with him. And then the rest of us,
you got the shaft? You get the business with the dad? So no. How are they in business with dad? Like, is that, like, dad helped fund some, like, an idea that they had, and he's like an investor partner, or is it like knowledge and skill set partner?
Kind of both in a way. My dad always promised all of his kids, if you come to me with a business degree, I'll help you do my next project. So that's how they would
help you do his next project?
His next project. Whatever project I'm working on, I'll let you be a part of it.
Gotcha.
Take ownership.
Gotcha.
So he would build, he's in the assisted living business. And so,
oh, geez, the baby boomer, dude. Your dad's racking it in right now.
Yes, he is.
Everybody's in the assisted. Oh, wow. Those are a packed house these days.
But he would, if he was building a home, he would let them take ownership, and then he would, you know, let them build their own if they wanted to invest in another one. So that's how they're kind of in business with my dad.
Yeah. Is that something that you eventually want to do, or is that?
I don't think so.
You don't care for that?
No, because I almost want, I mean, it sounds crazy. I kind of want to go through the process on doing it on my own. Because I could go get a business degree, go to my dad and say, hey, let me join. But it's almost like, feels like he's handing it to me.
Yeah.
And what would I learn? Not much, I don't think.
So you want to pound your face against a wall, hoping that the wall gifts.
I'll learn
that your
something.
Head pops out the other side one day.
Yeah.
And your head doesn't explode in the process.
Sounds
hopefully
crazy.
The wall explodes before your head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's entrepreneurship. No, that's cool, man. That's I really think that that's commendable.
I have a question that came to my mind while you were talking. I've heard several people in the self-improvement world and business world talk about building a personal brand.
You have to have some sort of brand. Whether that's you as an individual, right? Or whether that's your business. And guess what? You are the business. Like when somebody thinks about Real Business Owners, who do you think they think about?
You, for sure. Yeah.
When you think about Tesla, who do you think about?
Elon Musk.
Okay. Yeah. Think about Amazon. You think about Jeff Bezos. Like there's somebody behind it. And that's how people build kind of brands right now. They're not going to get tied to a logo.
Yeah.
Your logo is meaningless. The only thing that it means to somebody is you, right?
Yeah.
Like you're the only somebody that's like, oh man, that's my logo. That's cool. Like I'm excited. We got a logo. Mom, dad, look.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody else is like, dude, come detail my shit. Like I don't care what your logo is, right?
Yeah.
You're the individual that will make your brand. Right? So the question is what makes you unique and different? Give me something that you do every single day that's undeniable proof that you're different than everybody else. And if you can't give that to me, you will blend in the world of social media. You will blend in the world just in general, right? You have to figure out a way to stand out and become different. Part of me running 10 miles a day, it's not because I want to, it's because I know it'll get the attention of people. And once I have their attention, now I have the opportunity to make an impact.
Yeah.
But if I'm not doing anything that's outside of the normal, how am I going to get their attention to have the opportunity to impact somebody. So I'm doing something that's blatantly obvious that I'm not an average person and that I'm somebody worth listening to. So I'm having my actions speak for me. And then once I have their ear, then hopefully I can inspire them to make a change and do something different with their life. In your situation, you have, the only way you're going to get somebody's attention, it's not by showing another clean car, mm-hmm. right? Like, they don't care about the car. They care about the individual behind the car. Like, who are you? Like, what are your values? Like, yeah. what do you, you know, like, you are the business, right? You and like, show the camaraderie that you and your four partners have, like, joking, like, that's cool that you have the cool show lights and
yeah.
I can do, guess what? You and every other detailer is going to show a clean car.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to make it look the best that they possibly can look. So if everybody's doing that exact same thing, how are you supposed to stand out? You're one of many.
Yeah.
Okay. A car that's clean isn't going to stand out in an industry of people that are supposed to create clean cars. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's going to make you stand out from everybody else is somebody liking the individual that cleans the cars. Right. And so you don't have to do that under your person. Like, if you have your business page, you could do that under the business page, but make somebody be like, either do something insanely crazy, right? Like running 10 miles a day that piques somebody's interest and says, who is this yeah. dude? What is he all about? Like, I want to get around him a little bit more. Oh, he details car. Like, dude, I'm going to have him detail my car. I respect that. Right. Pique their interest by doing something unique and different. Now, it doesn't have to be the 10 miles a day, but it has to be something that's unique and different. Like I said, an awkward hug, an extra 2 minutes with a back scratch. I would have not forgotten yeah. about our embrace, right? Like that, but I'm being serious,
yeah.
right? So it's like, what could you do to really, really stand out? That's the question that you need to answer. Like, why do people know you, like you, and trust you, and want you to be the individual to detail their car? Because if the end product is the exact same, why do I care if you do it?
Yeah.
I don't care who does it. I just want a clean car. My guess is when you first started, it was the majority of people that you knew, right? Like,
yeah.
you know, friends, family, this, that. Like, you started detailing people that knew you, that did what? They knew, liked, and trusted you. And then eventually somebody gives you a shot, and then they know you, like you, but you've got to stand out somehow. So yes, I do think that that's very important because it's just the world that we live in and it sucks. Let's not overjudge it because it just is what it is, right?
Yeah.
That's the social media world of 2024. But at the end of the day, if that's what it is, it just is what it is. So how can you stand out versus blend in? If I'm a landscaper and I'm mowing lawns and I show the lines in the lawn and everybody else does it, okay.
Huh?
How can you bring value to me by me following your account? One, cool. You can be the individual behind the brand where people know, like, and trust the brand. Cool. But also, tell me what the best products are. Show me the product that got the stain out of the leather or out of the cloth seat. Show me the inside of a freaking car that looked like got blown up by like 13 2-year-olds with dirty diapers everywhere.
Yeah.
And do like one of those fast footages of clean. People like watching shit like that, right? Like, not the just the end result. They like to see the process.
Yeah.
Bro, it was good to have you, man. How do people connect with you if they do want coding, detail, you know, whatever, you know, the sparkling end result?
Yeah, just look up on Instagram, Manning Detailing Coatings, and it should be the first one to pop up.
Yeah, we'll put it in the bio. You know, support the young hustlers out there that are making their way in the world. They're trying to do good things, wake up early, you know, move their body, trying to build something that's, you know, of value for them and the community. Because as you grow and as you build, you're going to create more opportunities for people to have jobs and things like that too. So super cool, man. And if you need anything from me, man, you know, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
One message away. So you have my cell phone number now. Use it, don't abuse it, bro. I'll start charging your ass. You get to join the mastermind if you want that type of access, right? So we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Rate, review the show. Share it with somebody that you love and care about. All the normal mumbo jumbo. Other than that, keep kicking ass. We'll see you guys next week.